You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Leanna Boris, and boy, do we have some halftime headliners to get into as we talk about RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 6, Episode 4. Yes, Episode 4. I am not alone. As always, we have our wonderful panel here to break everything down. First, a woman who just moved into her swanky new apartment. That's right, it's Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
Exhausted. No, I'm really good though. I was just telling both Leanna and Amon right before that I watched this episode while I was unpacking like my clothes and like fully didn't pay attention and had to go back and rewatch it again and then have only watched Untucked once. But I thought this was a really solid episode and a wonderful way to welcome me into feeling comfortable in my new apartment.
Well, and you were just saying you put up two magnets.
I did put up two magnets on my fridge in the background. It was the first thing I did. It was a pride flag and then a RuPaul magnet.
So very fitting.
I was very, very on brand.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Okay. And you heard his beautiful voice, the other fabulous host of the Drag Race podcast. That is Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
I'm great. I thought that this is a very good episode as well. So I'm excited to talk about it. And I've got some opinions about some of these rankings, but we'll get into it.
Oh, yes. Okay. So I'm not going to lie. As soon as, because, you know, we knew it was going to be some type of like halftime headliner show, like halftime Super Bowl show, whatever. But once we actually got the official description of the episode or the challenge, I was so excited because I always love these types of almost diva challenges, right? Yeah. Where they bring in some fabulous voice actors to sing the bits and the bobs of the RuPaul songs to each character's or each person's likeness. And then the queens get to perform it. So I'm also happy to hear that both of you have very strong opinions about this episode, because I think there's a lot to talk about.
The woman who did half of the voices this time also did the majority of the voices for the divas live in All-Stars 3, which is
cool. I follow her on TikTok. She popped up on my TikTok. She did like Katy Perry. She did Shakira. Super talented. I should probably know her name at this point, but I don't. So
I need to figure out who the person is who did the Carol Channing impression, because it was spot on. It was so good.
Like Pandora herself. Okay, well, there's a few things that we want to... Is that you? What is that?
What is that?
Did you hear that? Is that like a train?
Is the purge happening?
Oh my God.
I live right next to the freeway. It was a motorcycle.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. We're all right. We're all alive. It's fine.
The purge. I was like...
Don't adjust your dial.
I shouldn't have moved to New York.
This is what your mom warned you about.
You know, pulling my shades down.
All right. Well, there's a few things that we need to talk about from earlier in the episode before we get into the main challenge, because after the elimination, we actually find out that the vote between Silky and Akiria, with Silky going home last week, was actually quite close. So Amon, here we have 6 votes for Silky and 4 votes for Akiria. What did you think that it was so close?
I'm quite shocked at, you know, who some of the people were. I guess mostly just Raja. I thought that she would have had a curious back over Silky's back because I believe the two of them are closer. But then again, maybe she didn't want people to assume that they were going to be in alliance and then she could come for later on. I felt like it was appropriate that it was close because I think it was a close call. I think it really was sort of what I forget who said it. One of them said it about how, yeah, this is at this point in the competition, like we're all good. And so it really just sometimes it's just like the nitpicking stuff. I did not necessarily agree that much with Ginger saying that Silky's talent show performance was stronger than Akira's, because while I'm certainly not as down on Silky's talent show performance as everyone else is, Akira definitely was just a bit more energetic during the talent show. Just say you wanted to show your big girl sister some love and you didn't want to vote her out. That's fine. Like, I didn't understand that.
But also, wasn't Silky in the bottom for the first episode for the talent because her like tempo was off and all that stuff? Yep. So like, if you're going off a track record, Silky was not in the top. She received bottom critique. She just wasn't in the bottom two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she forgot. There's a lot of time in between. But just to reset, it was Eureka, Ginger, Raja, and Silky that all voted together, which does make sense if it's Eureka. I mean, Eureka even said too, like to the effect of, "I just wanted to support like my big girl sister," right? I think that was her logic too. So it would have made sense if Ginger had said the same thing. But I don't know. Maybe she was just impressed by Silky singing. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe she got brought to church that day. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit got her.
Yes, exactly. Amen. Okay, then the next day, this is on the same note as Silky. They literally come in, the girls come in the workroom singing "This Little Light of Mine," which I thought was such a perfect sort of send-off tribute. Yeah,
it was so cute. Clapping.
I really liked that. I was
also, fully sounded good. They harmonized. They were all together.
Yeah, there was harmonies up in there.
I was like, okay, I want to go to the Drag Race choir concert now.
It's literally what I was thinking. It's like, they need to talk about a show. Let's go. Drag Race choir. We're on it. And then, of course, there's the whole like if Jan was lipstick eligible discussion, which I love the term lipstick eligible. I just think that that's such a fabulous term. We can work that into the strategy.
Like, you mean the bottom bitch? Like,
oh, man. OK, well, then let's just jump right on into it, because like we were talking about, I think this is a fabulous maxi challenge. And what the queens are tasked with doing is headlining in the All-Star 6 Hall of Fame halftime show, where they have to perform a musical tribute to RuPaul, I guess. But they each get to pick a different headliner. So you had to pick someone who had performed at the Super Bowl, and then you will be lip syncing and performing to one of RuPaul's songs in the style of that performer. And Jamal Sims is coming back to choreograph. So it was like, as soon as I saw all of these pieces come together, I knew that we were in for such a banger episode, Beth.
Totally. Totally. I mean, the music stuff can be really hit or miss, right? And I felt like anytime that they're impersonating a diva, it tends to be much better than any of the musicals. And we typically get these kind of challenges for All Stars versus a normal season. Normally in a normal season, it's like, let's choose one artist and then do a musical or, you know, a church of, you know, that kind of performer and such. Here, I like that we get almost a little bit of a snatch game mixed in with the musical challenge. So I was here for that. And it's all about lip syncing rather than singing itself and such. So I feel like in theory, this is always going to be a good thing because the queens all lip sync. That's like what they do for their job, right? So it's always really fun when you have a role that has good vocals, great choreography, and is in everybody's wheelhouse to a certain extent. And I really do agree with RuPaul. I think that, you know, everybody did a good job. It was the small details that were kind of glaring at the end of the day because everybody was strong.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think going through watching this, it was really hard to pick. I mean, I had to watch it a couple times to like really figure out who I thought should have been in the bottom. That's how tight this was for me. So so fun. Yeah, okay.
I love this whole concept. I am a big, anybody that knows me knows that I don't give a damn about football, but when it comes to those halftime shows, I am such a pop culture aficionado for that kind of stuff. I love the halftime show. I think it's just such a powerful moment for whoever gets to perform. And so the fact that so many of my favorite, well, I won't say so many else. No, at least three of my, of my favorite Super Bowl performances were represented here was just like, just, I was just squeeing all over the place. I just loved it. And I just love, I feel like for like the girls and the gays, they love their divas, right? And so any challenge that really pays homage strictly to divas, I'm always going to be like, yes, like, because those are my superheroes. Like, those are my real life superheroes to me. So I was so enamored with this entire thing. And I was extra critical of some of these performances because I've watched many of these performances many times. And so I know when something is off.
Well, now I need to know who the three are. So Beyonce, obviously.
Gaga.
Of course. Gaga as well. Mm-hmm. And Katy Perry.
Katy Perry.
I wondered if it was Katy Perry. So.
Okay. Oh my gosh. So fun. All right. Well, let's briefly touch on stuff from the rehearsal and like a few little things before we really talk about all the performances here. So let's go through who everybody was. So Akiria is going to do Prince. Kylie Sonique Love is going to do Steven Tyler. Raja, Diana Ross, Trinity K. Bonet, Beyonce, Avi, which actually makes sense in retrospect why she didn't choose her for Snatch Game. Because if she was like, no, I'm going to do the Beyonce performance, because they got to pick, right? They got to pick who their diva was. So I'm sure she knew, oh, I can't do Beyonce for both, or they're going to read me for doing the same thing over and over.
Clearly, they picked these performers and then the person recorded the songs.
I assume so.
Well pre-season that they chose what they were going to do. And that's why I think the costumes were so strong, all those different kinds of things. And I don't think the production said, here's a list of people, choose. And everybody chose different things, like, because there were so many other people you could have done, which makes sense. Like, I went through, we'll get into it, but I went through and looked at who are all the different, you know, halftime performers. And it's actually a very small pool for people who I think would be good for Drag Race. Like, there's obviously amazing performers, but like, I don't think that you could do Stevie Wonder, for example, on Drag Race. Like, there's things there. another person who's like a Gloria Estevan. I don't think that you could do her because like, there's really nothing. I mean, she's amazing, but it's not like
you can't do Coldplay.
You can't do Maroon 5. Like, I mean, like there's,
you could do Adam Levine.
I guess you could. But there's like a very limited, and especially when it comes to women, like there's, it's a pretty shallow pool. But that said, I will have thoughts as to who some people maybe should have done when we get to them, based off of what I did a little bit of research with.
Yeah, so this is also interesting because Beth, the comment that you made about the logistics of it all makes me think of Herstory of the World, because what we know what happened for All Stars 2 was that the queens, I think they were all assigned though. So they were assigned who they were going to be, but everybody got a person. So even those who were eliminated or who left, so like Adore, for example, was Frida Kahlo, but like she never got to do the performance. They just cut that verse of the song, but it was already recorded. So that way they could prepare their outfits and have those ready ahead of time, which is
and
why
they changed Katya's last minute before, right?
Yeah, they did.
They changed hers, yeah. And
I'm still mad about that.
I don't know. Yeah, there are some that are like slap versus that slap that I really wish had been performed, but whatever.
I know.
Okay, let's move on. So, okay, so we're resetting who was who. Yeah, so Trinity K. Bonet was Beyonce. Pandora picked Carol Channing again, but I think it was a good choice. Scarlett, Katy Perry, Jan, Lady Gaga, Eureka, Madonna, Yara, Shakira, and Ginger was Fergie, who opened the show. And when Jan was saying, I can portray Gaga like no one's business, I was like, this is foreshadowing one way or another. Like, she's in the bottom two, or she's winning. There's no other option. I thought she was going to be bottom two, actually.
The editing, this was a Jan front and center episode. She had the most confessionals, I'm sure. Everything was her, like, building up how great she was. And I was like, oh, man, something's going to happen. Like, the judges are going to completely F her over. I can already feel it. Like, they've been building this narrative up that she's safe. And then she's going to go home with like a music challenge.
We've just been through it with her. Like, it's either she's the Bad News Bears of Drag Race until today.
Finally, she gets her own redemption here. Let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anything else before we just get into everyone's performances. When Scarlett showed up with the Left Shark costume and the like one can like the little bit before the performance, I laughed so hard. That was hilarious.
You know what I want to bring up is this. I'm not mad at this. But Trinity is kind of giving me a little bit of Fifi All Stars 2 vibes with like making comments about everybody. I don't know. I'd be nervous if I were you about XYZ. Mm-hmm. And nobody's bringing that up in confessionals or commenting on it. But I was like, oh, girl, this is very like, you know, you have a win underneath your belt. You did really well.
Yeah, she won a challenge and now she's out here.
And now she's like, oh, you know, I would be nervous about that. You know, what we should be nervous about is so and so. And I wouldn't, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Like, that is like what, you know, Trinity has turned into. Which I'm kind of here for because it's her owning some confidence in herself. So I hope it bodes well, but I wouldn't be shocked if we end up seeing this as being some kind of social issue within the queen.
Right. Or a downfall potentially at some point.
Like, if she gets in the bottom two, they're like, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Honestly, I just want to talk about these performances so bad. Oh, the only other thing that really made me laugh was when Trinity asked if Carol Channing does her own makeup and Pandora's like, well, she's dead. She's dead. So no.
I need to, when they were having, I'm also really happy that you see Trinity like really making friends with a few of the queens and such. I loved that moment of like her, Akiria, Raja over at the mirror and all that stuff. That was a lot of fun. But I need to point something out. Akiria was taking mascara to make a mustache and then she didn't have one for the challenge. And if she did, it was not enough that I could even see.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we'll get into it.
We'll like, ugly we'll and she scrapped
can
it.
Identify. Maybe. Yeah, maybe she washed it off. I don't know.
But it's just so funny. They like really zoomed in on her doing that. And then all of a sudden she didn't have the Prince facial hair.
Huh. Yeah. Okay.
Bianca Del Rio has had so many cameos in this season strictly because of Trinity K. Bonet being here. It's like every time, it's like, let's just go back to the fact that Bianca Del Rio read me for this last thing that I did.
Yeah. I know, not all the like flashback confessionals from, you know, oh, I want to be a Beyonce impersonator. Well, you look more like Sammy Davis Jr. or whatever, right? Was the
but to, Bianca, but to Bianca's credit, she has been very, very vocal supporter of Trinity K. Bonet on this season. Yeah. So it's nice to see that.
Yeah, no, it's super cute. Okay. All right. Let's just do it. Let's rip this Band-Aid off. Let's talk about the performances. So we're going to go in order of their halftime Super Bowl performance shows. And we're also going to touch on the look, because I think especially some of the judging maybe is a mix of both. I think it's important to talk about each competitor at a time. Also, if you are watching the video version on the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube page, definitely check it out. And this picture of Ginger, I had to pull from her Instagram because I literally could not find one decent still of her from this episode where she was facing somewhat forward and not either halfway to the side or all the way with her back to the camera. So anyway, if that shows any indication of how I felt about Ginger's performance, anyway, never mind. Let's talk about her. So Aman, Ginger here as Fergie. What did you think about her performance?
Okay. So I used to be a very, very big ass Black Eyed Peas fan. I got really into them hardcore, like towards the end of middle school, beginning of high school. I just bought all their albums, listened to everything. I was a big, big Fergie fan as well. The Duchess is one of the best pop albums of the 2000s, just hands down. I got more Ginger than I got Fergie. I think what really saved Ginger here was her look, because Ruth specifically said that they're judging both the looks and the performances this round, where sometimes they don't really say that. So I think that the look really saved her. The one thing that I will say is that she got some of those facial expressions down, because Fergie does do a lot of that smirking kind of type. Like, she really, I could tell that she studied Fergie's face during performances, but there was a lot of like showgirl hand movements that she was doing throughout the performance. I was like, that's Ginger. That's not Fergie. Fergie performs with three other dudes on stage, and she really sort of takes on, not that she's not a beautiful woman, but she takes on a very masculine sort of thing when she performs with the Black Eyed Peas specifically. When she's on her own, it's, you know, she's the Duchess. So I just felt like she wasn't giving me enough of like that butch energy that Fergie really, really brings. And sometimes Fergie really goes off the rails some of these performances. Like, even that, because I remember watching this performance, like, I think it's like 2010, 2011, and she was just like screaming. And to her credit, that's more of something that the lip sync or the impersonator would have to be doing for Ginger to play off of. But I did sort of, I didn't get enough Fergie from her. So I was sort of surprised when she was, because she was she towards the top? or was she safe?
She was in bottom three.
She was in the bottom three, but bottom wasn't three. In the bottom two.
Gotcha. So yeah, I think that's probably appropriate. Because I think the look really, really saved her because there was not enough Fergie for me.
I'm going to be honest. I love Ginger and I think she should have been in the bottom two. I think that Akira should have been safe in the bottom three and that she should have been in the bottom two. Part of this, again, I got that she was doing, I'm a drag queen being a campy version of Fergie, but I just don't think it met the assignment in the way that maybe others were able to do. I think Fergie was a horrible choice for Ginger. And if I were her, I would have done one of two other people knowing her. I think she should have done Gwen Stefani when No Doubt did it. And I think that she could have had those different, like, you know, like those like little things, like you can bring a camp aspect to Gwen Stefani that you cannot really do for Fergie because Fergie's a little too intense. Mm-hmm. And then the other person I thought would she could have just been funny about would have been Justin Timberlake. If she had done something like that, the fact that nobody was either Justin or Jackson or Janet Jackson to me was like, I can't believe that this is like, they should have at least had I really think that she could have been like a really funny boy band member and done like a Justin Timberlake because both NSYNC and Justin performed, he's performed twice there. So I just kind of felt like, if you're going to be someone who is campy and Carol Channing is taken and, you know, these other divas who have a loud, vibrant personality are taken, you have to do something that I feel like Fergie was just not the right choice for Ginger. I love her outfit for the challenge. I think her frill outfit looks fine for like, it looks like she's in a Broadway production of like, you know, Gone with the Wind. But I also don't think that, I think Akira's look was more drag for this challenge and absolutely really beautiful. This just seems like it fits the assignment. You would have seen it on Broadway, whatever. I love Ginger. This was not her week for me.
And that's how I felt too. And it, as someone who really wants to root for her, it hurts me to say this, but I absolutely 100% think she should have been the bottom. And especially because her and Eureka were the first two and they kind of set the stage. And so I kept feeling like everyone after Ginger did better. And when I'm feeling that way by process of elimination, you just have to then be at the bottom if I'm feeling that everybody after you is doing better. And I thought also she didn't really connect with the camera all that much. It could have been the choreography that Jamal gave her.
I think Jamal fucked her over.
That's the other thing too, is like, because I swear to God, like when I think of the performance, I think of her standing literally like with her like sideways to the camera. I cannot see her outfit, first of all, which is gorgeous. And I can't see her face because her hair is so big. And she's trying to like kind of like cheat out, but like not really in a way that like works. And then he made her go up and down those stairs so many times.
It was ridiculous.
I don't know. Just it's something really didn't connect for me. And so I'm happy to hear your guys' analysis because I think it actually puts into words more of what I'm feeling that I could even articulate myself. I just know I didn't like it. Or it's not that I didn't like it, because again, I think everybody did well. It's just that it didn't like it as much potentially as some of the other performances.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just think that inherently in this challenge, if you don't choose a queen who's obviously going to stand out, like then you're only playing for safe. Ginger played for safe here. She didn't play to, you're not going to win this challenge being Fergie. You're going to win this challenge being Lady Gaga. You're going to win this challenge being Beyonce. You're going to win this challenge being Prince or somebody who has like a really dynamic performance style. And if you're not going to win, you're going to be in the bottom two with those roles. So it's like, I feel like her in Pandora and all these other people just like played for safe.
Yeah, I agree as well. I think, like, yeah, I mean, it's hard because not only is she not, because even Jamal said, like, she doesn't really have a signature. So, I mean, it's like, so you're admitting that some of your choreography probably could have use a little bit more research, because there are some things that Fergie does.
I feel like she hypes up the audience and does stuff like this a lot.
She's very much a hype man. Like she's
come on.
And I know that this wasn't the Super Bowl performance in particular, and I know that maybe Ginger wouldn't have been down to be doing all of this acrobatic stuff. But that Today Show performance when she is doing those handsprings with the mic in one hand and just like, whoa, I'm like...
I'm just imagining Ginger trying to rehearse that with Jamal. Oh, God. No
way. What a disaster.
Also, side note, I do want to say, I think Ginger's haircut and boy form is so... I just looks so cute. That, like, oh, bleach cute. Blonde, like, undercut with, like... I just mm-hmm. love it. Great job.
Great so job. Good job on your boy look.
Yeah, good job on your boy look. Yeah,
love it.
Let's take a look at the girl. Actually, and good job with the makeup this week. I mean, she really did listen to Michelle, and it looks so much better.
Oh, it looks so much better. And that also, that makes me really happy, the fact that you can have a queen who then gets some critiques and is able to immediately incorporate it that next week.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I've, nothing makes me happier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's exactly why she was safe, is that they were like, you know what? She listened.
She's trying. She's trying.
She's trying.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, let's talk about Eureka next here. I kind of alluded to this, that I felt like Eureka, maybe I also could have seen her in the bottom. But I'm having a hard time. Is it because of the choreo that she was given them on, or is it like, I don't know. Something just didn't sit right for me.
I don't understand the judging at all. They were like, you brought so much humor to my, I was like, y'all put her in the top because y'all like Madonna.
Yeah.
Y'all Madonna. Like, Madonna was the queen of pop back when RuPaul and Michelle Visage were out in the clubs in NYC, and it made you feel nostalgic. That's the only reason that she was in the top. She did not deserve to be in the top. There was nothing stand out about that performance. And mind you, yes, some of this falls back on Jamal. But at the same time, that halftime show... look. If they had chosen Madonna when she was a little younger, more in her prime, not to be ages or anything, but like when you get older, you can't really be doing the dips and the dives the way that you were doing it when you were younger. And that halftime performance that Madonna put on didn't really call for a lot of that, because mm-hmm. it just they asked her when she was like almost 50. So it's just like, so it, there really wasn't much for Eureka to do. So I'm like, can we just call a spade and say that this was just a safe performance? Like, why is she in the top again?
I don't understand. And I'll also tack on to that, the look for the runway. At first, I liked it. And then as more of I looked at it, I was like, first of all, this actually isn't flattering. Her makeup is busted. Her wig is thirsty. Like, there's so many issues with it. And I was just like, she literally like as from the, if you start at the bottom and work your way up, you're like, oh, this is great. Oh, it's not as great. Oh, no, this is busted. Like, it literally. As you move forward, I'm like, no, I don't like. I don't get it. I don't think that she should have been in the top three at all. No,
I think the look is great. I think that she, like, if they made these costumes or they got them made for them, whatever, whoever made that costume for her, they did a good job. I think it looks
like the Madonna one.
Yeah, the Madonna one. Yeah, okay, I look at it. I know. I know instantly what it is when I look at it. So A+ on that front. But with this performance in combination with her runway look, I'm like, I don't understand. I don't get it.
It's so funny because when I started talking, I completely forgot she was in the top three. And now I'm even more outraged that she was in the top three because I thought she was safe. And then, like, I think she should have been the bottom. No. She was given the fact that she had great costuming. Brought humor. Like, I'm sorry. In what way?
She did, that was funny. Yeah.
You mean the one time she covered, like, her groin? And that was it. Like, that's, I don't even, that's funny, apparently.
I don't know.
I also think, like, you didn't get a good sense of Eureka. Eureka's over the top, and there was nothing over the top about that performance at all. Like, I thought, see, she's what somebody.
That's what they were saying, right? They were like, oh, your giant wig.
You know what? I've at least done the part of the performance where MIA and Nicki Minaj come out, because that costume was better, and it was a little bit more lively. I don't know. She's just over here, like, doing symbols and practicing like arithmancy. I don't fucking know. It was just weird.
I just generally felt like she should have done somebody else who had higher energy. Mm. I don't know. I was dying to myself laughing about, I wish somebody had done Bruce Springsteen and slid into the camera with her.
Oh, that would have been so good. The one thing I will give her on her runway look is these chap leg things are what gingers should have been. Yes. Remember gingers, like, ugly, yes, weird outfit? Yeah. This,
it goes,
this
up is what to they, you.
Yes, exactly. It goes all the way up. It's cut all the way up the bikini line and goes to the waist. That's what it should have been. But that doesn't, in my head, give her really that many points. Yeah, this one is like a miss for me.
Don't you think that she kind of looks like Honey Boo Boo goes on a bachelorette party? Like, yes, that's the
vibe. Honey Boo Boo all
I'm
grown
honey
up.
Honey Boo Boo, y'all.
Oh, yeah, very much that, with the big cowboy hat, I think, is really what brings it home. And the runway, if anybody was wondering, the runway theme this week was the frills. The frill of it all, officially, frill was the name. So that's why we're getting a little frill up in here. Okay, this next performer, is really where I think things like really started to pick up for me. And that was Raja here. So, Beth, what did you think about Raja's performance as Diana Ross?
I thought she nailed it. I thought she did a really good job as Diana Ross. Again, though, and this is, I don't know if this is a Jamal thing, if it's just the fact that it's Diana Ross or whatever, but there wasn't anything for her to do. She was just sitting there kind of doing the hair bouncing thing, which is what Diana Ross does. But if we're going to go by RuPaul judging factor, apparently BB Sahara Benet can just sit there and bounce and do that and get in the top three for the Divas performance. And like, so we're not going to get her in the top three here for it. I thought she did a fine job. For me, it was a safe performance. It wasn't anything amazing, but there was no way that she should have been in the bottom. She's just somebody that if you're thinking halftime show, and I love Diana Ross, I don't think, wow, she really brought the house down. It was just like Diana Ross did Diana Ross, which was great, but she's now Lady Gaga jumping from a helicopter into the stadium situation. You know what I mean? It's not that level of crazy.
Yeah, a little different. I think for me, Amon, like, the biggest thing was that she just had the stage presence. So even though she really wasn't doing all that much, I felt like it was that just ethereal feeling and confidence that really brought out the Diana Ross of it all.
I thought it was cute. I liked the finger snaps. I feel like she had like she embodied the Motown era quite well. I think that was probably one of the stronger vocal performances from the singer, which also elevates it as well. I think that she sort of had like that, you know, just like that effervescent, vivacious smile that Diana always has on her face. So I definitely saw Diana, but I think that this was a safe performance, but it was towards the top.
Right. Yeah. And I think the look, I swear, I had a Barbie that had this exact dress, this like
the
blue.
The dress is that the top part just looks so boxy to me. That was the one thing that I was kind of like, ugh.
The waist looks off. Like, I needed a little bit more cinched in. Mm-hmm. I think especially to really exaggerate the difference between the arms and then the bottom of the dress. But I think she looks gorgeous here. I think all
I
around
this
those
wig on her.
Oh, yeah. No, and the color is so beautiful.
I'm going to put it out there. You know, in my opinion, Raja's the queen to beat for this season. I am so enjoying everything that she's putting together, whether it's in the confessional, in the workroom, in on the runway, in the challenges. She has just been so consistent and just such a joy to watch. I love Raja this season so much.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I mean, it's such a pleasant surprise. Like, I have been such a big ass Raja fan for so long, so I was so excited to see her come back. When I thought every time there's a queen that I like that comes back for All-Stars, they're always like fodder. Like, I was so excited for Jasmine Masters and she went the way of the Buffalo. I was really excited for Derek Barry to come back. And then that didn't happen so well. So like, I was just like fully expecting, all right, I'll get my, you know, 2-3 episodes with Raja and then she'll be gone. But no, she's like winning challenges.
I think she's the one to beat, to be perfectly frank. I think she's the one to beat.
I think especially with maybe other favorites coming into the season, like, I don't know, like Ginger or Eureka sort of dropping the ball a little bit. I think that that leaves the path wide open for someone like Raja to come in here and take the whole thing. So I think that's really apt. Yeah. Let's talk about our next performer, who is Miss Yara Sophia, who picks Shakira, which I think obviously a fabulous choice. She performs as Shakira twice a week. And during the rehearsals, I was like, girl, you've got it down. But I agree with the judges. Her face just wasn't giving it. It felt awkward and disconnected. And it didn't even really feel like, if I looked at her from the neck down, I was like, yes, this is Shakira. And then from the neck up, I was like, what is happening right now, Beth? It was just very weird for me.
Again, I wonder how much of this is the way she paints her eyes, being you're losing the focus of like the intensity, like is she smizing or whatever. But it's like, I love Yara. I thought that like you said, from the neck down, this was right on. I loved everything. But she also missed a couple words of her lip sync. Like, she, to me, was the obvious weakest link. Mm-hmm. And then even in terms of the look, like, I love that we're getting season 3 crazy hair Yara. Like, I love that, like, signature kind of thing. But I just don't think that, like, if that's the only part that's frills in your outfit, I don't get it. I just felt
the same. The braids aren't those, now that I'm looking at it, aren't those the same?
It's the same wig. She just put 2 chopsticks with hair on it through it.
Yeah.
Like, I just generally feel like she was weak all the way around this week. And like, her signature is to do braids in various different styles. So I wouldn't be shocked, or like dread looking, or locks, I mean, in various different ways. But I mean, if you want somebody who looked the most like the queen, I mean, she would win if that was the competition. But there was just the passion that she had. Like, I mean, all she had to do was give you like one look that was like super sexy. And then you're like, okay, it's Shakira. I'm good. You know, I'm good to go. Write the check. Here we are.
Yeah. I mean, for her to be talking about, oh, I do Shakira every Tuesday and Thursday, and then to be trying to like run the rehearsal when Jamal is clearly trying to set out moves for you. And I disagree with Jamal, because Jamal was like, everything from the neck down was like spot on and perfect. I was like, no, it's not. Like, y'all, the Shakira and J-Lo Super Bowl performance is one of the most like energetic things that I've ever seen in my life. Like, they're like, that gif is still around where she's like screaming into the mic, like, ah! Like there was none of that. It was all very muted ass. Like, the best part of it was like the belly dance. Like, okay, great, girl, you got your waist going. That's great. But where's the rest of it? The lip sync was trash. The dancing was low energy. There was no Shakira here. It was so bad. She deserved to go home.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I felt the same way. It's sad to see her go, but I also felt like with this performance, and I also don't want her to fall under the same issue that other queens have had, where they're kept around longer than they should be. And I didn't want that to happen to her. And so ultimately, I think that this is an okay spot for her to go. Now, obviously, we have the game within the game, so who knows what's going to happen. But I think in terms of this challenge and the runway look, like you were saying, Beth, I think this is the appropriate week for her to go.
I do love that she had like this color palette on her, though. It looks so good.
Oh, gorgeous.
But, I'm just a little disappointed. And I also don't think that she, like, I think it's pretty valid for the queens to be like, you're not fighting for yourself. Why would we keep you here? You're just saying I'm pissed. Well, that's understandable. But like,
yeah, it's like, I don't know how she's going to play a game within the game when she doesn't even want to play the first game. Like, the name of the game is to, if you're in the bottom, bitch, then you better ask for, you need to fight for yourself. That's it. You know what I mean? Like,
I guess it depends what the game within the game is.
You have two very different energies, right? You have Akira in the bottom, who ends up being in the bottom, having this like very almost disheartened feeling. Like, it's not that she's giving up, but you feel like she's like feeling a little defeated. And then you have Yara, who's like, I'm pissed. This is stupid. I'm like,
It was like, well, and then the outfit wasn't even that great. Like, the color was wonderful, but that was fringe. That wasn't frills.
No, right. Agreed. And agreed. Yeah, well, and if the thing is that it was so funny in her voiceover, she was talking about the fact that she thinks of Gone with the Wind. So she thinks of windmills. So she's going to make her hair look like a windmill. I was like, girl, you just had this and you tried to make it work.
Yeah, totally.
This isn't frills. All right, let's talk about our next queen, who is Katy Perry. So, Aman, you said Katy Perry is one of your favorite performances at the Half Bowl. At the Super Bowl halftime show. How do you think Miss Scarlett did here with Katy Perry?
Two things. I think that no shade to the singer. I don't think that she really knew how to impersonate Katy Perry. Katy Perry did not sound like that. The best part of the vocal performance was when she did like the chant thing, because that was like, oh, I heard Katy there. I kind of blame Jamal for this, because yes, the dancing shark is iconic and it's a nice callback moment, but it really restricted her to be able to really embody Katy. I would have much preferred if she just was, or if she spent less time with the shark costume on. Like, if it were just like a first 5 seconds thing and then she took it off, great. But I felt like she spent at least 20, you only had a minute. Each performance was a minute long and you spent 20 seconds under that shark costume. And it's just like, all right, well, what's next, girl? I do think that when she took it off, I did get Katy. I think that she was really embodying, because Katie's not really a dancer, but when you do give her choreography, she'll give it to you, but it's very like,
One, two, step.
It's like very, and I felt like I've definitely got that, and the look was definitely spot on. So I think that she was definitely safe. I would have preferred to see a little bit more from her. Like, if you're going to give me Katy halftime show, then you got to give me more than what you were given. But the look, though, is absolutely fantastic. I love it.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. I think that safe is exactly where she should have been for this. I mean, I think if it was based on runways, she's in the top for me. I love the runway look a lot. And I love on her Katy Perry outfit how she was able to put the skirt in a place that makes it look like she has like a real waist, even though that's a little farther down than her waist really is. Like, in that kind of outfit, I think that's really hard to pull off when you have a little square of a body. I totally agree with you, Aman. I feel like she should have taken off the costume much sooner. There should have been more choreography there. I felt like anytime the singer did like the game it up, like there was like those moments. Oh, okay. That's Katy Perry. But other than that, there's like literally Katy's like not somebody that you can really easily and imitate, I guess. I don't know. I felt like this was just a safe performance. And to be perfectly frank, I don't think about Katy Perry for her performance. I just think about the shark.
Left shark.
I wish if they were going to do this, like she should have had, I don't know. Like, I just feel like make it the gag even bigger. You know what I mean? If you're going to do left shark
dancers, right? Yeah. So put them in left shark. I don't know. Maybe she was like, she brought the left shark costume from home. She wanted to do it. I don't know.
Yeah, it would have been a lot better if it was one of the back dancers. But I get it. Like, if she wants to show that she's paying attention to the assignment and she knows the performance and she's, so I get it. I can tell that she's a fan of this performance the way that I am, but which is why I got kind of blame Jamal here, because if that was his idea to have that on, I'm like, oh.
It would have been funnier to have one of like the pit crew people be left shark and like she is instead trying to like fix left shark while she's performing. Something like that would have just elevated it a little bit more to be like, okay, it's not just somebody lip syncing a Katy Perry song in a shark outfit for half the time.
I think in terms of the music, even though the vocals maybe weren't super Katy Perry, I thought the actual melody music-y part. I don't know the real proper term for that, but I thought that sounded like
that one.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, okay, this is sounds like a Katy Perry song. Like, it sounds like it could be a Katy Perry song. Like, there's something about the bop that just like really makes it.
They were using the synths that are used in California Girl?
Yes, exactly. Okay, that's why it makes sense. Okay, totally. And then the look, I think, is just absolutely gorgeous. I think she looks phenomenal. So I think the combination of, maybe her performance wasn't like, oh my God, gag, yes, it was safe, right? And I think that's sort of where we're landing. It's like, this is safe for, for us. So I'm cool with that.
I just those shoes and that runway outfit.
She's so good. And the makeup, the lips,
the stones on the lips and the big hat, like just everything about this. That's the thing is like, honestly, if her performance had maybe been a little bit better, I think she could have been in the top just because the look maybe pushed her over a little bit. That's how gagged I am over the look.
So I think it's her and Pandora have been safe every week and haven't gotten any critiques, right?
I believe so. I know Pandora.
No, Pandora was in the top in the first episode. Never mind.
Oh, yes.
But so Scarlett's the only one who's been safe the entire time, I think.
Let me see. That sounds right. Let me just quickly check the wiki. Because that's the thing is that when you can't get critiques, that's tough. Like, even if you're in the bottom, you know.
You're getting a sense of what the judges are telling you. It also gives you an opportunity to talk back with the judges and say, like, I think that it always bodes well. Like if you've been safe for a long time. So for example, if she's in the top or the bottom next week, I would, if I were in her position, I would say, you know, thank you so much for your critiques today. Like, are there other things based off of the previous weeks that you think that I should be focusing on as I move forward in this challenge?
Right.
Or in this competition. I think that that's the way to go about it. Like, I know that you're judging me for just today, but I haven't had the privilege of hearing your thoughts beforehand. What else could I be doing?
They'd probably say, shut up, bitch. We got a schedule. Keep going.
And then I would have been like, yeah, and that's when you create camera time and you tell the judges to F off.
So Pandora was high. She was actually high last week as well, but that was the group challenge. Oh, and so they didn't get critiques because they were just like the commercials were just given a pass and like moved on.
Okay. Round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, so let's talk about our next performer, Kylie Sonique Love, who goes as Steven Tyler. Beth, what about Sonique?
I just briefly have to smile and laugh at the fact that Raja didn't know who Steven Tyler was. No, not Raja. Trinity didn't know Trinity, who Steven Tyler was. Trinity goes, I don't know. Am I supposed to know who that is? Sound pretty masked. And I was like, I wouldn't say Steven Tyler's the most masked person in the world, but I loved that at the end of the performance, Kylie does like the lips.
The lips, thing.
Yes.
That's what did it for me.
I mean, I feel like I started thinking about this, and we only got to see a few of the choreography things at rehearsal with Jamal. And then there was a part of me that was like, did Jamal even choreograph everybody? Or were there certain people that he was just like, and you're just going to play with the microphone. And I feel like that's what he did to Kylie. And I feel like Kylie just like,
that's
she was
the
like,
problem
okay.
here. Because there was no way that that was choreographed. And if it was choreographed, then it, I don't know if she completed the assignment. It was just a little too messy. I think what really brought it home definitely was the lips at the end. I was like, ah, that's Steven. I see it. Like, I got excited when she did that. But it kind of got hard to like follow her because she was like,
yeah,
like all over the place. I'm like, okay, this is a lip sync. We need to see your lips. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
Valentina.
I don't know. At the same time, like I did feel that she embodied.
She definitely did. Yeah.
Steven Tyler. Right. So, and like the making love to the microphone thing, it is to me, this actually translated quite well. So I thought that the costuming also looked really fabulous. I thought that her runway look was also like absolutely gorge. Cause I was essentially trying to think of like, okay, if I don't put Eureka in the top, who do I pick as the other person who could potentially be in the top? And she was one of the ones for me that I think could have been up there based on just the way that I felt she physically embodied Steven Tyler and then the combination of the look. I don't think she deserved to win necessarily, but I think for me, it was strong enough that I could make an argument that she could be in the top.
In my opinion, she embodies Steven Tyler better than Scarlett embodies Katy Perry.
Yes.
But Scarlett's outfit was far and away way better than this outfit for the runway. True. So, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I didn't get frills as much as I just got loose fabric hanging off her for this outfit. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that she didn't have frills on her. I think it's beautiful. I think she's gorgeous. I don't think it's a, like, amazing runway. I'm just kind of like, okay, so she's wearing loose fabric.
I guess that's fair. I just think it's so pretty. I just want to touch it and wear it and like live in her hair. It's just all so pretty to me. And her makeup, I think her eye makeup is just so pretty.
She's the Barbie doll you want to play with.
Oh, yes. I can't help it. I love it.
She's so gorgeous.
Okay, well, she does end up safe here, which again, I think is fair, right? Ultimately, with the judging, I think it's an okay decision, which is interesting because she's somebody who also has been safe quite a bit. I think she was only high once, in episode 2. So that's also interesting because is it going to end up coming back and biting her in the butt because she doesn't get the feedback? Or is it just maybe once we thin the herd a little bit more, she'll be able to start to stand out a little bit? I don't know.
Right.
And it's also hard for us because we're normally used to 10 queens. So at this point, everybody would be getting critiques. But because we have 13, we're still at the point where we're 4 challenges in and there are queens that are not getting critiques. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of crazy for all stars when we think about the timeline.
That's very true. That's true. And if it's the game within the game, we have Queen potentially coming back, then that even stresses.
Well, do you think it's going to be its own episode? Like, are we going to have an episode that's purely just the queens that have been eliminated like we did?
And at this point, yeah, I think so. Because we're at 4 queens now gone. Like, how are you going to? I don't think it's going to happen next week either. So you're going to have to
be maybe the week after that. I think we'll.
I mean, it kind of depends on how they do it, right? Because if it's going to be like a regular episode where then the winner gets to come back into the competition, or is it going to be, I don't know, like the lip sync, like from episode one, of last season 13, right? Where they did like all the lip syncs. Is it going to be something with a bunch of lip syncs? Because we know that they liked that. I don't know. It's going to depend. But I think absolutely they have to dedicate a full episode to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's just too many queens.
Too many queens, not enough time.
All right. 'Tis time to talk Gaga. Beth, what did you think here of Jan as Gaga?
I mean, Jan crushed it. I was just like, the first time I watched it, I had to stop putting away my clothes and just like really pay attention because she really did like this still of her. If you're watching the video, you could have told me this was Lady Gaga and I would have thought it was Lady Gaga. I would have been like, oh, okay. Like, she had the manic energy, the intense choreography. She knew everything. She added little things. She had the choreography down. It was absolutely amazing. And then far and away, in my opinion, had the best frill look. I mean, this was absolutely amazing. This almost like saloon, you know, prostitute in the mid, like, or not in the Midwest, but like in the Wild West, like, oh, I would have paid money for her. Put that out there.
All right, Aman, what about you?
Yeah. Lady Gaga is the, is one of my favorite pop stars ever to ever exist. I felt similarly to Jan when she talked about how she discovered Gaga as she was discovering herself. And I felt very similarly. Lady Gaga is extremely important to me. So I was very glad that she went ahead and chose her, knowing that she's a big fan. I echo Beth. She got it. Like the foot on the piano, the way that she was like scrunching up her face in between verses. Like, Lady Gaga is so, like, she's so extra all the fucking time for no reason. And she got it, like, in the callbacks to so many of her music videos. Like, I feel like they really relied heavily on the telephone choreography here. A little bit of Alejandro I saw in there as well. Like, I was just, and the look was spot on. Like, it looked like an exact replica of the thing that Lady Gaga had on. Like, she really, really went for it. And It was tough, man. It was tough because I was glad that she, we'll wait until we get to the end. But
yeah.
I think that she ultimately did a really, really good job. And the look as well was just so I wanted to watch it. I wanted to watch the movie of this character. I just wanted to know where she was going, where she came from. Did she kill somebody with that knife that's on her leg? Like, what's going on? Like, I just wanted to know. She's telling a story. So Jan crushed it this week.
I want to wear her runway look as a Halloween costume, just so bad. But
I
like,
I want to wear it to work.
but all the time. I think, and especially when she was talking about the fact that she knows that other queens are going to come out and do pastels, and I want to do something completely different. Beautiful choice, absolutely fabulous. Because even when you're looking at Untucked, it's a bunch of pastel, and then her, like this, just dark. Lady of the Wild Wild West, like you're saying, that just everything about it. I fell in love with. I really need this outfit so bad,
it's so good.
In my life. And then for the Gaga performance, this was, you know, again, me with the editing thinking like, all right, this is either going to be really good or really bad. And honestly, as I watched, I was like, oh, Jan's in the top. And then I cut to thinking, I like psyched myself out. They're going to be like, oh, she did too much. Or like,
they're going to be like, you were over the top. I'm like, it's a drag competition. Yeah. Like, and I was already be yelling
of all
at
people.
The,
yeah, I was I was prepared to be outraged at the judging just in case. So I was very happy ultimately with the fact that she was praised and not put in the bottom for this, because I just couldn't imagine it going a different way. Okay, well, I want to get through, because I do want to talk about Trinity, because I ultimately want to talk about who ends up winning the competition. But first, we definitely have to talk about Akiria here, because she chooses Prince. And this one was another one that I was like, this is either the top or the bottom. I can't decide what it's going to be. But Beth, I mean, do you think that this was deserving of being in the bottom?
I do. I think she should have been in the bottom three. I felt like Prince, to what Jamalson said, is very hard to pull off. You have to have this level of laid back and cool, but also a little paranoid feel. You know, like there's like a weird energy that Prince has, which is why people were so captivated by him, right? And also, like, this is just a note. This is for me personally, and I'm going to address this to anybody who is potentially thinking about miming playing an instrument. Nobody plays guitar like this with their hands. Like nobody is just flapping it about or whatever. Like, are you playing slap bass on a guitar? Like, I don't get it. It was so there were just little bit of elements that just seemed like it just didn't match what she was trying to do. And that was one of them. When she was doing that,
your internet's a little like your internet really doesn't like the slander about playing musical instruments that way. So how dare you say such a thing? It's a drag show. Come on.
I'm so bad. Am I back? Am I okay now?
It's a little like a robot-y. I'm going to remove you and then we can pop you back in. Okay. Sorry, girl. Bye. Okay. Now that's just us. What do we really think happened? No.
I think that I'm on the side of Beth here. I don't necessarily know if she deserved bottom. Well, I guess she would have. I don't think there was anybody else that would have been in the bottom besides her. I think it was kind of like what Jan was saying about like being lipstick eligible. I think it was just a shitty situation. It was like, it was a shitty situation, but you're still in the bottom. And I think that's sort of what happened with Akiria here. My parents are big Prince fans, so I grew up listening to a lot of his music. I never really watched too many of his performances, but I have seen them. And I do understand what Jamal was trying to get across. But with that being said, though, the thing I don't understand about the judging is they were praising some other queens for like sort of like injecting their own personality into their queen, like Eureka, apparently. I don't know how that's possible, but okay. But then they sort of said that there wasn't enough Prince, and it was like a really... They said it was like a reined in, like Carson said that it was a very reined in style of Prince. And I'm like, I think the opposite. I think Jamal is saying the opposite. He's saying that there was too much going on. Like Akiria is known for her ass, right? And Prince has shown his ass through some chops before. And she turned around and like shook her ass. Prince doesn't really shake his ass. He just shows it. He's like, bam, there it is. You know what I mean? So I understood that there was definitely more like drag Akiria to this Prince performance, but I felt like the judging was so lopsided because it was like Jamal's praising or saying that you're doing too much, whereas Carson is saying it wasn't enough. And I'm like just confused about what they wanted from her.
Yeah, Beth, you want to finish that thought?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I felt like some of the manic energy that she was trying to get across with the guitar playing. I was like, you know who she should have done is James Brown. Like, that's a little bit higher energy. And I feel like Akiria has this kind of calm, cool, collected personality. But literally, I mean, obviously, we know with the timing of the logistics and such, she had been planning this for like since before the season. That's what we're assuming. So I give her a little grace here. But I feel like James Brown would have been the type of performer that you can go all out on and have that kind of a, you know, energy, and people would have loved it. And she should have been the person who did Janet Jackson or something like that. I just felt like Prince is a hard person.
She couldn't pull it off.
I know.
Yeah.
I just generally feel like Prince is, I know that she would say, oh, Prince can like put me in the top, but Prince is hard to pull off. Like if you can't pull off Prince, then I don't know. I don't think she was bad. I want to put it out there, but I also like, I'm looking at this and going like, I wish the facial hair had been there that she started putting on. Like there's just a little bit. And then of course with this runway, I like loved it. The presentation was like so incredible.
This is like a Miss USA look, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think I saw that somewhere. Anyway, I don't know. I just felt like everybody was being too hard on her. Maybe I just have a soft spot in my heart for Akiria, but I just felt that compared to Eureka, compared to Ginger, I don't know. I just got more from her performance. I got more from the runway. I just felt that
I think so too. Yeah.
I think she should have been safe. Or at least if you're going to put her in the bottom three, not the bottom two.
I agree with that. I don't think that she should have been
lipstick eligible.
I forgot about Ginger. I think that there was, honestly, it could go all the way for me, to be honest. Like, it could have been Ginger in the bottom, and she was, and Akiria was bottom three, or it could have been what we got for me. I think that both of them sort of failed in really delivering the essence of the character. So.
Yeah, it makes me nervous for her. Not going to lie, moving forward, but we'll see. Okay, second to last, Pandora doing Carol Channing, or what was it that, did you guys watch the Pit Stop this week?
I didn't.
Oh my God. Okay, I'll try to remember.
Cheryl Canning?
Cheryl Canning.
Yeah, my God, that was so funny. I just saw the clip on TikTok.
Yes.
Monique not knowing that her name isn't Carol Channing. It was Cheryl Canning entire time.
This is the song that it feels like everybody thought was the best. I mean, even we got Trinity in the beginning giving the confessional of like, we finna lose this shit to Carol fucking Cannon, which just like made me laugh so hard. But Beth, do you think she did well here, Pandora?
Yeah, I mean, this was expected. I think that she was teed up for being safe or winning, or not winning, or being in the top. I mean, again, whenever you do these divas performances, there's always going to be people who inherently have better parts because of the way it was written, or have better characters to be. When you do the Divas Challenge and All Stars 3, like, I think we were all being like, you know, Thorgy was set up to go home. Like, I mean, we get that because all she was, spin around now, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I felt like Pandora really embodied her. We knew that she could do Carol Channing. Carol Channing's a great choice. And then just for her to like at least maintain her safe area. And then her runway, I thought was like creepy doll-esque.
Yes.
And so there's a part of me that kind of wishes that she had like hyped that up with her face a little bit of like, I understand that I am not a 6-year-old, and instead I'm going to play up like I'm a creepy like doll or something. Just, I'm kind of getting bored with Pandora's looks. They're nothing like amazing. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of wish that she would do something to present them that is a little unexpected for Pandora.
I think she could have been in the top here if it weren't for the look.
I agree.
It's just not frilly enough. And it is very sort of like one note. I mean, it's beautiful, but it's very one note. And I think a lot of her looks have sort of been that way. But I was laughing my ass off at the Carol Channing performance. I thought it was funny. I was like, oh yeah, she's definitely going to be in the top. But I think the look really dragged her down here.
She, yeah, I think I'm glad you brought that up because she was the other one who I was considering putting in the top if I would take out Eureka here. It's just the look doesn't really do it for me. I almost feel more bows. Like maybe it's just because she's got that one bow in the middle. It doesn't really scream frills, but yeah, creepy doll is like the apt way to put it. That is really what she looks like here. But the Carol Channing look I thought was really gorgeous, like really, really great, spot on. The choreo was great from her. The lip sync, of course, she had on point. So I think we talk about embodying the performer. I think Pandora did a great job with this.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Also props to the singer again. Just
yes.
Well done.
Very much. Okay. It is time to talk about Beyoncé. Closing the show, Trinity K. Bonet does Beyoncé, ends up in the top. I think for me, this was definitely a decision between Jan and Trinity K. Bonet as the ultimate winner of the competition. I am going to just say it. I'm happy that Jan got her redemption, but I think Trinity should have won. I just felt like I was, there were parts where I was like, I'm watching Beyoncé. Like, I really just felt, not that I didn't feel like I was watching Gaga with Jan. Like, I definitely had that. But I don't know. Maybe it's the fact she closed the show, so she was the last one that I watched. There was just something about it that I was so captivated by. The look, again, you could argue maybe that was the reason why she wasn't put in the top. But I was just blown away by her performance, Ramon. And I think that Trinity just did an absolutely fantastic job.
I'm really... As we've been getting up to this point, I've really been struggling with how I feel about it because I definitely, when watching, I was like, okay, Trinity won. But I was like, come on, you are a member of the Beehive. You live for the, like, I don't even consider Beyonce a pop star. I consider Beyonce Beyonce. Like, when I say, like, Lady Gaga is my favorite pop star. Beyonce is my favorite Beyonce. There's no one touches Beyonce. She's on another level. She is the celebrity of celebrities. Like, celebrities geek out when they meet Beyonce because she's just that bitch. And so I think just watching somebody, you know, do her routine, I just was automatically like, okay, you win. But I think I think that Jan still wins here only because, and like, Trinity did this down. She did this down, but I think not even just the looks. I think I enjoy it. Jan's look is definitely better, mm-hmm. So you can make that argument on its own. But I think also what Jan did Trinity did not do was really inject a bit more of the mannerisms of her diva. Mm. This is a very surgical performance of a Beyonce halftime show. The looks. Everything, she hit them all. I saw the end of time choreography. I saw the single ladies in there. I saw the crazy in love in there. I saw all of it. But it was, I didn't see the face. I didn't see some of the like, there's some certain things that Beyonce does with her body while dancing that you can just tell, like, oh my God, that's B. You know what I mean? And I feel like this was very surgical and just not, it's normally what Jan gets critiqued for, it being too surgical. And I think that Jan really went the extra mile and really making sure that, you know, I'm going to give you Gaga. And Trinity gave us Beyonce, but she got edged out because if there was just a little bit more characterization there, then I'd have been like, all right, give it to Trinity. It's over, bitch. But I understand why Jan won. And I still think that Jan's look was stronger mm-hmm. than Trinity's, even though Trinity's look is gorgeous.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that, there's things
that be- say it because I love Pete, but I mean, it's not Pete and Gaga, so whatever.
I totally agree. I think that this is far and away the best we've ever seen Beyonce on Drag Race. And mm-hmm. unless it's actually Beyonce, I don't know if I ever want to see Beyonce on Drag Race ever again. Like, let's just let this be Beyonce for all of us to think about and like never have to enter that realm again. For that alone, because of the difficulty, I do think it's more difficult to nail Beyonce than it is to nail Lady Gaga. So there's a part of me that thinks like, do you give it to Trinity just because it's harder? But I definitely agree. Outfit is a clear better, like Jan's outfit's way better. But those little mannerisms that Jan does with her face, that Jan does with her mm-hmm. fingers, that Jan's doing with her body, Trinity's missing, and there are things that Beyonce does, like she'll do a sly little smile to the audience.
It's in her face.
Her face, facial expressions, like you watch Beyonce and you're like, oh my God, look at the way she moves. I can't believe she can sing and dance and do all this other stuff. And then she like winks at you and you go, oh my God, she winked at me too. Like, I mean, like literally I almost got to that point with Trinity where I was like, if she just threw in like a wink, a little, like she whips her hair gets caught in her face and she kind of like smiles and shakes it off. Like just one of those moments I would have been like, oh my God.
I really wanted her to end the performance because Beyonce is so cute. Like she's like the thing about Beyonce that people don't understand is like, she's been honest about it multiple times, is that she's very shy. And so after so many performances, like in grand stadiums, when she's done, she always does this thing where she puts her hands behind her back so bashfully. And then she just smiles at everybody like, thank you guys so much for enjoying my performance. And it's like, Beyonce, you know you killed it, bitch. You know you killed it, bitch. And she's always like, thank you guys so much. Thank you for this moment. I really wish that Trinity would have ended it that way, because then I would have been like, all right, that's Beyonce.
That's funny. I hear that. I hear those criticisms. I think mainly also maybe part of it was the low bar, like we're talking about, of, oh, no one's really been able to break that curse. Although I guess with Gaga as well, that was kind of the discussion of like, can these queens this season sort of break the curse of being able to portray these pop divas in a way that is actually positive or more flattering or actually encompassing their mannerisms. And so I think this was definitely the clear top two. And then Eureka being there also just made absolutely no sense to me. But
that's fucking it. It's like, how did Eureka get up there when you have these two? Y'all telling me that Eureka was up there with those two?
What? My whole point is, RuPaul, you don't have to have a top three if there's clearly a top two. Like, just make it top two and bottom three. Or better yet, let's make some more drama. Top two and bottom four. We definitely could have made a bottom four situation here. And maybe three of them are in the bottom. And then you have to choose between three people for the lips. I mean, there's things you could have done here that, like, why are we kidding ourselves that Eureka was in the quote-unquote same top as Trinity and
Jan. They're padding her pockets, and she's gonna win the fucking season. And we're just all
that's enough for me. Okay, moving.
One call out I do want to just say to the crew in particular, especially the lighting crew. The lighting crew for Beyonce killed it. Like, you get so much more of what Trinity is. Like, even in the still, like, if you told me, if you blocked out the face, I would have been like, oh, based off of the lighting alone, this is Beyonce. Mm-hmm. And then you look at, oh, okay, this, yeah, and the outfit, okay, yep, and the stance and the hair, and yep, okay, great, Beyonce. Like, the lighting crew did such a good job for each of these different performers of matching what the lighting style either was for the halftime show for them, or is something that you associate with their kind of acts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I love
okay. Beyonce. all right, let's scooch on along. We went over this, but just to refresh, so Yara and Akira are the two that end up in the bottom, with Ginger ultimately being safe, and then Jan getting that win. You go, Jan, or J for Jandetta, whatever it was. And we talked about this also with the deliberation, but the fact that how Yara and Akira were both pleading their cases, not only to just Jan, but also then to the queens also as a group. Because I do wonder if Jan wanted to pick a lipstick that was the same as the rest of the queens were going to pick. But I wonder if Yara actually pleading more to Jan made a difference ultimately with who she picked. So that's going to be interesting when we find that out next week. The lip sync this week. Oh my God. Jessica Wilde. I was shocked, Beth, when they brought her back. I was gagged. I did not expect it to be Jessica Wilde, although then I immediately thought, well, Yara's going home because I know they're best friends and that seems to be a thing. So that immediately settled, sealed the deal for me. But I was shocked they asked her. This was an out of left field pick, but what I thought it was an out of left field pick for them, if that makes sense, of what I think of them.
When you think of people who haven't yet had a return to an All-Stars or something like that from season two, Sonique and Jessica Wilde were the two that you would think about. And I was so excited to see Jessica Wilde come on and see, okay, Sonique's here. Her, like, one of her best friends, Giada, is here, which unfortunately, you know, she ends up having to send her friend home. And we do have that moment where she says, I feel bad because Giada is my friend, but I don't like how she just exited, which we'll get to in a second, I'm sure. But I was so excited to see her. I love Jessica Wilde. I loved her on season two. I love the performances I get to see online and such. And she's somebody I really hope I get to see live someday and meet, just because I think that she's just such a good-natured, fun queen with like a fun energy to her.
Well, so we have her going up against Jan here for the lip sync for Your Legacy with Britney Spears's Womanizer. And Amon, Jan takes a an interesting approach to the lip sync, dare I say it myself. I am a robot. Malfunction.
I'm like, girl, if you don't stop, if you don't fucking reboot, you see this bitch over here going over all these flips and dips and ducking and diving, and you're over here
having a seizure on stage.
Like, I get, going for a specific kind of theme. I get it. Like, maybe for the first chorus, but not all of them. Or if at least if you're going to continue with the robot, then you got to make it even bigger. You got to, like, involve your whole body. Like, you, like, really give it to us. Like, really.
You need to know how to actually pop and lock and then just give it.
Yeah, like, that's another thing. The illusion wasn't all the way there. Like, the isolation in the neck was just not, it just wasn't giving.
Yeah.
So it works
for an effect when you're driving. Well, not hopefully you're not driving, but like when you're in a car and like you're with your friends and you're like, like whatever. But when you're on the main stage of RuPaul's Drag Race trying to lip sync for $20,000, maybe switch it up a little bit.
To me, this is the first thing I thought of, and it's not exactly the same, and it's not nearly as uncomfortable and cringy as Trinity's old man lip sync performance, where it was like she very clearly was going for the gag of like, This is a comedy performance. Like, I am doing a comedy performance. That is my choice. And it felt like Jan's choice was, I am doing a comedic performance of this song with the whole spastic robotness of it all. And I just don't think it translated. I kind of understand the decision though, because if you know that you're going to be going up against a queen who is a like dancer extraordinaire, you have to do something to set yourself apart. Because if you try to do the same thing, it might not come out as good. But I think she should have just gone ultra sexy, like like complete sex kitten. That I think would have been the better approach. Just the comedy thing. It didn't work here.
Listen, so if you're not going to be Ben de la Creme level of comedy in a lip sync, Don't do it. Sorry. Yes. Like, yeah, if
Derek Barry is somewhere watching this performance being like, what the fuck, bitch?
It was a choice. It was uncomfortable.
Choices.
Maybe she phoned it in. Maybe she didn't want to be too much of a threat in 1 week. She's like, I got my win. That's all I care about.
Yeah, right.
I really don't think that's Jan's style. Jan was like, no, give me the money. I finally got my win. I think that she's like totally here.
$20,000 is a ton of money. Like,
I'm sorry. I will send a friend home for $20,000. Yes. I love you both. If I was in a situation where I was like, Amon and Leon are the bottom two, I guess it's going to be hard. I'll buy them something pretty.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Yeah, it makes sense. And then, so obviously Jessica Wilde wins, and it seems that Yara is the one to leave here, which Beth, you alluded to her, I guess, exit line.
You know what? Such a beautiful line. You know, fuck you all. Just right here in the heart. Really got me.
Yeah, fuck y'all.
Well, I didn't know she was on Big Brother OTT, but here we are. I'm not shocked. We get this for the past 2 weeks. She's been mad, which means that she hasn't been open to the critiques, which means she hasn't been open to the competition / the way that this goes and all sorts. There's always one queen on these seasons. Like, I want anybody who might be on a future season of Drag Race All-Stars to really listen to this. You are not going on Drag Race. It's a very different show. You were going on Big Brother, Survivor, The Challenge, does Drag Race when you come back. It's less about what you're doing in the competition, and it absolutely does not bode anything for your talent or anything like that. You're literally just on there to showcase who you are, reintroduce yourself to the audience and such. So when you leave and you say, you know, fuck you guys, or it's like, first of all, me as a viewer, I'm like, pass me the popcorn. So I'm here for it. But I also need you to be like aware that like, it's not that serious at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that serious.
She seems very upset. Upset. And it's like, because like, I mean, I some of it is like some self-loathing at the fact that you didn't, you know, you probably could have advocated for yourself a bit more. I think some of it also was like, she really thought that she didn't deserve to be in the bottom, because how can I go home being Shakira? Like, I do this all the time. It's just so embarrassing.
It would be like Pokemon Trees going home for being Janet Jackson or something.
Right. But like, girl, you didn't play the game, you know? And like, I feel like Raja was like really trying to get you to say something, because Raja already voted for Akiri at one point. I don't think that she would have been that hard to vote Akiri out again. Yeah. Maybe if you had really advocated for yourself, you'd be good. But she just, you know, and I don't think Yara would be winning the season simply because of that diary room session. She seemed like she was still upset about it. I'm like, you're not upset by this then. Because we know that they film those diary room sessions after the season concludes. So I'm like, you're not winning, because you're still bitter. So obviously.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that is the interesting thing, is like, I get it. You can have a lot of emotions wrapped up to it, into it. And I wonder if Jessica sending her home, like, was also maybe part of the whole thing, but it will be interesting to see, because we're not done with her yet. So when we have the game within the game, then, you know, we'll
and even
see.
That she was like running away as RuPaul came on the screen, and it like, she was ultimately kidding, but it still kind of felt like, ugh. And then she's like, I'm kidding. Yeah. Why? Fine. Whatever. I'll play. I was like, girl.
Yikes. We were talking about this before. I don't think there's much from Untucked to bring up here. I mean,
not really.
Not for me. Which brings us to next week. So we are going to be having the intimate chat show, The Pink Table Talk, which I'm very curious. It seems to be a team challenge. I'm not exactly sure if this is improv or it's going to be something scripted. I think improv would be my guess.
I think it's improv.
Which that's, you know, kind of our first like real, I guess, I guess there was the acting challenge with the commercials or whatever last week.
But yeah.
Testing a different set of skills. We shall see what happens.
I have a feeling that this is going to be like the talk show interview kind of things like they've done. Where like they have to take turns interviewing guests and such, but maybe because of COVID, that's why they're interviewing each other as like The View situation or something like that.
Oh my god, that was so cringe. That season 9. Oh my god.
So bad.
And Naya Rivera, may she rest in peace. Like, that was so funny. She's like, do I get up now? Like,
do I leave now?
Oh, and then, or when Jocelyn Fox is bringing up like Cher's mom's almost having an abortion. Like,
oh my god, that was so uncomfortable.
That was really bad.
Oh my gosh.
But I definitely, it sounds like, I don't know how much of this is comedy, because a lot of this was them like saying,
yeah, because Red Table Talk is not a comedy show. They talk about like serious shit,
stuff.
So. And it sounded like, so it's interesting to see, like, are they supposed to be serious, but then here's a punchline and here's the joke or something? Or is this actually going to be an interesting challenge where it's not about them being really silly? It's about them being like, how vulnerable can you actually be? Which I think is kind of interesting, honestly, to think about that.
Your inner saboteur, dare you say?
Maybe.
Oh my God, we should do a drink counter. Every time inner saboteur comes up next week, you better take a shot.
All right, well, I don't want to die, so let's not do that. But I love the idea. Maybe a shot of soda or something, so I don't, you know,
seltzer?
End up in the hospital. Yeah, okay. Seltzer it is. Okay, that does it for us this week. Really fun episode. Thank you guys for going through everything with us. Aman, what are you up to and where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter and on Twitch at Aman Adwin. Matt LaGorie and I are like pretty much almost done with all of our Glee stuff. So if you need anything Glee, I am pretty sure that I have no problem saying that we are the most thorough Glee podcast that you will find on the internet.
I believe it.
Hands down. No, like, just bar none. Awesome. Starting up Harry Potter again this week. We're starting with Goblet of Fire. So check me out on Twitch. And as always, you can see me in these Twitter streets talking about Big Brother 23, which has been such a great season so far. Yeah.
I know. Oh my gosh. This season has been, it's been like 3 days and it feels like a month, but in a good way, you know, like in the best way possible.
These 3 days were better than 3 months of All Stars. So just putting it out there.
Yes, yeah. Very much that. Beth, what about you? Where can people find you? What are you up to?
People can find me at AugustaWind11 on Twitter, Twitch, all the other socials, all that fun stuff. I'm hoping to do a little bit more streaming now that I'm a little bit more settled. So be prepared for some Dead by Daylight streams. I'm hoping to do a couple other games, maybe some Switch stuff, all that kind of stuff.
We gotta get our Overcooked sessions in.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We should.
Yes. Okay. We'll find a time. The three of us are going to stream together. It'll be a lot of fun. You can also catch me on My Weekly Meltdown, where we also cover BB23, but we start before the coverage after eviction night. So what we try to do is pass the baton. Not that you guys really need it at RHB, pass the baton, that kind of thing over to y'all. And then we also, I'm still doing Hot Mess Moments with Dylan Zahner, where we're discussing The Nanny and Lost. And we are nearing the end of season one of both shows. And we have thoughts and feelings every single week. So feel free to tune on in.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP, podcasting about Drag Race, obviously, and a little bit of Big Brother. So doing the Saturday morning updates, which again, like, so much fun. And then I'm probably going to be, I think I'm supposed to be on the first eviction show. So just very much like living for this Big Brother season right now. But anyway, that is neither here nor there. If you are interested in supporting everything that we do, from Big Brother coverage to Drag Race, consider becoming a patron of RHAP. So check out patreon.com/RHAP to support us. You get access to a lot of fabulous things, including more Big Brother coverage. So if you are invested in the season, you get access to two different shows covering all the silliness of Big Brother, the slop, as well as a call-in show with the Taryn Armstrong. You can ask him all of your questions, him and Rob getting together, I think, on Fridays. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Thank you for all your help, and we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.